Hello and welcome to Shield Up, the Patreon exclusive podcast from RKG. My name is Gavin, and today I'm joined by Daniel Crocker.
Hello.
I feel my ears are still ringing. I saw Dune last night.
Loud, isn't it?
See it on the biggest screen possible.
With the biggest speakers imaginable.
They are quite big speakers. I saw it in view Leicester Square.
Bigger screen, bigger speakers.
That's true, actually, yeah. Although at one point, the scene was so light, I could see the speakers behind the behind the screen. I was like, I don't want to see that.
I'd be all right getting headphones. Give me headphones.
Yeah. To be fair, I did think that about Dune because there was a lady behind me who was having a laugh, but she wasn't being annoying. But I just don't think I'd be able to hear her. If someone was talking, I just don't think I'd be able to hear her because it was so loud in there. But yeah.
Right. I'll be out soon.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's out next week.
Yeah,
which is good for people.
Robin's just looking down at us from the gantry.
Yeah.
Like a little lovesick Juliet.
It's very rare that I go in to see a film and not know anything at all about it. Like, I have no connection to it. I don't care. Like, I don't know about the film or the old film or the books or anything like that. But I just like Denis Villeneuve. So I was like, here we go. And it's got obviously an amazing cast as well.
Like Worms?
Yeah, I know the Worms. I like the Worms. Basically Tremors, big Tremors. But it was really good. Like, as someone who's not massively into that kind of sci-fi, it's super serious.
That's Star Wars.
Yeah, but Star Wars isn't serious, is it? Like, Star Wars is more fun.
I think I'm approaching like Dune is still fantasy sci-fi.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not like splitting atoms.
No. But with this, I felt like this is a big adult film. Like, it's not, it almost like doesn't care if you're having a good time or not. It's just like, we have made this absolute epic story. You're going to sit there.
I think
and watch
Star Wars
it.
Is the kids' version of
100%.
This.
100%. Yeah.
The chosen one. Like, and how do you manipulate ideologies to lead people astray?
Whereas this, I think, has just gone, this is what happened. I don't care if you're having a nice time. We're not giving you any kind of levity. We're not giving you any like nice little funny moments. Nah, not having any of that.
It's like one joke in it.
Yeah, if that.
When we see film, I can't remember the last film I said this about. When you watch a film, obviously, the job of Denis Villeneuve is to be a director, and you're bringing together hundreds or even potentially thousands of individual artists.
Yeah.
I just look and go, fuck me, that looks like a lot of work.
What a pain in the ass.
How long is that taking to render out?
But I just think, like, you know, when you see like all the sand blowing and stuff, like, nah, what day that is. What did you do today? Oh, I fucking filmed 3 seconds of a scene. And then we just got covered in sand.
Yeah, might not use it.
Probably not use it, to be fair. It's not going to go in. It looks like a pain in the ass. But that's why I was thinking when I was watching it, because I watched Prisoners the other day because I wasn't very well, so I just stuck it on. Because despite it, when it boots off in places, Prisoners does really boot off. But most of the time, it's actually quite quiet and still and muted. So I watched that, and I was like, I wonder if Denny's ever going to go do little films anymore.
I think he will.
Because it's like massive things.
Yeah, but like,
he's gone massive.
If you have steak every day, you sometimes feel like, do you fancy a burger?
But I think that's the cool thing now. It's like, even at the time, like, you know, you got Jake Gyllenhaal and Hugh Jackman to be in this quite small film. Now, he can get anybody who wants to be in a small film. Do you know what I mean? I think that's great. Do that.
He's weird, because we've always like followed his work. Mm. It's strange that he suddenly is like one of the biggest directors in the world.
Yeah, isn't it odd?
Yeah, because he's not had like a big smash blockbuster, really.
Yeah.
Because he's had a lot of critical acclaim, but he's not.
Yeah.
I don't associate him with like, you know, like bonkers box office.
No.
Whereas Nolan did a bit of both.
Yeah, that's true. I guess like him doing Batman probably really helped. And then it's Inception, obviously, after that, you're like, oh, it's the Batman guy. Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know.
But he still did one of his weird films.
Yeah. Whereas, I know what you mean. But weirdly, Sicario is the one.
Because I think more of a thriller.
Yeah, I thought Sicario was fine. Like, I thought it was okay.
The end is good, but it's like a Splinter Cell film.
Yeah. Like, I liked Sicario. I had a really good time watching
it,
but it's not like
the less feel-nervy one.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe like, we like directors when they play around with time.
But that is the one. Sicario is the one that all of my mates who are like not really into films, like, oh, you seen Sicario? Yeah, that's fucking badass. Like, and then you're like, oh yeah, it's done by Denis Villeneuve. You should watch his little film Prisoners. It's really good.
I like this one.
They love that as well.
I like this one that mixes up linguistics and time.
Oh God, so good.
I've forgotten how good it felt to be held by you. Fucking cry my eyes out. Crying my eyes out at that scene.
This is not a spoiler, but when the worms in Dune are like making their noises, they sound exactly like the aliens in Arrival, which I really enjoyed.
Do you reckon it's cross-up?
I hope so.
Shared Denis Villeneuve universe.
I went through a phase of on flight watching Arrival all the time because the noise they make just sends me to sleep.
That's quite nice. Really, it is quite soporific, isn't it?
It's also like, I love that room. I'd love to be in that room.
What, on that side of the glass where the aliens are?
Yeah, as long as they're not breaking through. Like, yeah.
And your mates.
I'll just sit there. I don't even want to chat to them, really. I just want to
teach them. You could teach them Welsh and they yeah. could teach you their language.
Well, no, what I want is more.
Quite similar.
I just want a bed in there. And they can watch me sleep if they want, but I will not be talking. I want them to know I will not be talking to them. Okay. So that's what. Thing is, if the world was worse and the film world was worse, I would like to see Arrival from the other points of view of the other governments, you know, because you keep getting these little Chinese snippets. Version. Like, I think it's like the Russians who are trying to play chess with them.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't play chess with them because that is encouraging an adversarial yeah. conversation, like where someone is right and someone is wrong. Someone is the winner and someone is the loser.
Yeah, once we enter that linguistic set,
yeah.
you can only perceive it in terms of winner and loser.
Exactly. So that's what you're wrong. I still love to do that though and be like, have the Russians going, what are the Americans doing? Fuck it, yeah, bollocks.
This is chess, leave it to us lads. Fucking invented this shit. No, you didn't.
What's she up to? Oh, yeah, drawing. Yeah, good luck with that, mate. Fucking hell.
Where's Kasparov? Get me Kasparov.
Although, to be fair, if you could teach them how to play chess, because I'm not sure if that's what they don't think they say they are playing chess with them. I think they're using chess
terminology.
To
yeah.
yeah, they're not sitting down and going, he's fucking beat me again.
It's a cute, like L4.
Yeah. They're not sending in fucking Queen's Gambit girl.
Yeah. What's Australia doing? They're playing battleships with them.
Right, that's enough. Get Australians out there. It would be good to see it from the other points of view, though.
Yeah.
I'm
here for it.
It's a very different film, don't get me wrong.
Or Prisoners from the Perspective of the Snakes.
Oh, yeah, I don't want that.
And the suitcases. And just like pissed off for an hour. Animated film.
Well, so originally, when I...
Spoilers for Prisoners here. So.
Oh, yeah, that's not too bad.
Well, we will say the ending.
Yeah, yeah. Originally, when I saw True Detective...
Mm.
That's in my head. I pitched myself the idea.
It's the same thing.
For the series later on, which was, for some reason, I thought I'd read it, but maybe I just made it up. For some reason, because I heard that it was going to be another series already. They would already talk about a second series before they were like, oh no, it's going to be an anthology. I thought it was going to be the same case. And then series two was, and you'd find out more each time. So series one is
almost a bit like The Wire, maybe. Yeah. Sort of like a different...
But it's the same case. I thought it was going to be the same case. So the first one is you got the detectives, and the second one is like the political aspect, and it keeps on going and going and get higher and higher, and then be like, oh, then we get the FBI. We're going to get FBI agents.
The president's at it.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was going to be that. It's not that. It wasn't that at all. I don't know where I read that or dreamt it or what. It would be good.
It's not bad though.
But you'd have to have a really good story though, wouldn't you? Really.
Well, what you're talking about is kind of what. The British, what happened to Broadchurch? We just kept going. You go, oh, we've actually run out of story here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Broadchurch should have gone anthology.
Do you know? We mentioned this.
Astromonarch.
Well, do you know we mentioned Broadchurch a couple of weeks ago or months ago now? Someone wrote in going, oh, actually, Broadchurch series 3 is fucking brilliant. And number 2 is brilliant as well. You don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
wrote into Shield Up to say that.
Broadchurch, Stan.
Yeah, I don't know. They exist, apparently.
Not from my memory, they weren't, but...
Yeah, can you imagine, like, a Broadchurch Stan to turn up to Comic-Con, David Tennant say, like, yeah, do you want to pause me, Doctor Who got a screwdriver? He's like, no one asked you about Broadchurch. Miller!
Yeah. Oh, what's the name of the thing they always talk about?
Sandbrook.
Oh, Sandbrook. Look at the Sandbrook tattoo.
Sandbrook tattoo. They should have done that. Well, I did do a little. I know they did a little bit of Sandbrook in series 2, but it wasn't good enough for me. No. I wanted it full Sandbrook.
It's really hard when you build something up for an entire series. And then you go, oh, it was easy when this was just a black hole that we never had to fill in.
Yeah.
And now we have to.
Well, it was the guy. He's like a British actor who's got really shifty eyes. Mm. He was like the dad, but he was in that Snowman film that we heard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know that. But yeah, Dune. Good. This is actually good. Update on the C word from the other week. It says, just wanted to write in for some clarification as an Australian slug. Even in Australia, if you call your mother-in-law a C word, she will not be happy. So this is from someone who called their mum a C word for not refilling the kettle.
Which wasn't, the email wasn't
it
about
wasn't,
that.
No.
There was just a bit of extra colour.
Says, however, like how we use the word mate, the C word is very dependent on context, is what we said, which can go either from something jovial you would use amongst your good friends to describing someone you absolutely detest. This is like slug and slug for us, really, isn't it?
Like, yeah, people spend up to, because we've cribbed that from The Office.
Yeah.
And he is using it as an insult in that. Mm. He says they're little slugs.
Yeah.
Whereas we say it like, oh, like Michael, like our kids, yeah, our offspring.
Which did, it did start with us, because we were just slugs doing office things.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, that's what most of those early seasons are.
Yeah, yeah. And then it fixed itself, and that, for some reason now people are slugs. Yeah. So we should cut off.
We should cut off, yeah. We've reclaimed it.
There are still plenty of Aussies who don't like the word, and you've definitely got to choose the place, time, and people used to use it amongst, or people just use it freely and don't give a crap. A few years ago, there was an independent tourism campaign for the Northern Territory, which the slogan was, see you in the NT. Isn't that great? Anyway, I think in this context, calling your mother-in-law a C-word for not refilling the kettle is a bit of a C-word move. Lots of love, lads, from Primordial Slug Down Under.
I don't know that many Aussies, but the ones that I have met are okay with it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one Kiwi is really, yeah, okay with it.
Say it all the time, yeah. This is, I really like this question. It reminded me of a film that I now can't remember the name of, but it's a good film. I'll remember it by the time I read this.
Would you have sex with my wife for a minute?
It's my 50th birthday. My brother has bought me a real life game now. So guys, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have one of your most what the fuck problems. Sorry in advance, Gav, I'm having to read all this. It's absolutely fine. I like reading. I've been seeing this girl for the past 3 months and things started off amazingly. We got on instantly and we both agreed we'd had the best first date either of us had ever had. By the end of the first month, we both said we loved each other and we were both very happy. Hell. So it's quick for some, not absolutely fine for
others. It happens for others.
It's absolutely, you know, yeah, whatever. I
think if you're both in the same right place.
Things were great until a few weeks ago when she kept blowing me off and avoiding me, but would spend every night in the same pub with the same people. I know she went there a lot when we first got together. That pub is basically her happy place. I tried multiple times to get her to not go there every night and actually spend some time with me, but she couldn't bring herself to do it to the point where we hadn't had a date in over a month, but I'd be expected to meet her at the pub. The other night, I've been out with a friend and pumped into there because she said she wouldn't be in there, and there she was, sat at the bar with the same people she sees every day. By the time I left, I was pretty upset, and a friend of mine told her to call me. She didn't. I got a blasé, are you okay text about half an hour later. I told her I wasn't and she'd once again been put in the place before me. She said we need to talk tomorrow about it. We met up and she broke up with me saying, it's not you, it's me. And she couldn't give me the time and attention I deserved in a relationship. I pressed her and asked if she was actually just choosing to spend every night in the pub. I'm laughing, I'm really sorry, but that is a funny sentence. I asked her if she actually rather just spend every night in the pub over me. And she was brutally shrugged and said, yes. I wasn't asking her to stop going completely, just spend one evening a week with me. I'm a bit of a mess at the moment. You hear people being second best to another person, but to a pub, I feel like utter crap. I asked her this morning if she was sure that that's what she wanted, and she said yes. Guess I'm asking if you've ever been in such a weird position, what I should do to get over this. Thanks, lad. Sorry for the long one. Oh, that is really sad, man.
I think you're better off out of it, mate.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I know it's really sad because you had this like whirlwind thing over the course of a month and you got in the place where you felt like you could say you love someone, but it doesn't seem like she's the right person.
No.
If she's doing that, she's like not being honest with you.
Yeah.
I know it sucks right now, but it sounds like you're best off out of it.
Kind of want to see this pub.
One hell of a pub. I bet it's a crap pub.
Do you think? In my head, when he said about...
trying to say that to make him feel better, not him make him feel worse.
Oh, right, sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking about the pub. I'm like, what kind of indie?
I'm not saying it's a crap pub, or she likes that more. I'm like,
you get
a new better pub. You find a new local.
Well, the thing that I was thinking is like, I think is this. Do you think this is American or...
Britain.
Britain. You think this is British?
Pub.
Pub, I guess. But sitting by the bar is a very American thing. I'm a huge fan of sitting by the bar and I really like doing it. And any place that you're allowed to do it, I will do it because I'm a big fan of sitting by the bar.
You can in some pubs. I know it was an expression, you probably don't say it as much, but I guess if she's going in every night, that's where probably locals sit.
Yeah, yeah.
People go on their own. Probably sit at the counter.
Did you see, you think there was a thing that went viral recently and it was like a Tumblr post and someone was like, sorry, but... is going to the pub a thing that people actually do? Is going to the pub a thing that people actually do? Or is it just a thing that people do in films? Because they were saying that people just don't go to the pub after work in America, which I do not think is true.
Depends maybe where you live.
A lot more driving goes on in America,
maybe where
I guess.
You live as well, sort of thing. I mean, that said, I don't know if it's representative. Like when we used to go to the San Francisco office, like I know people would come to the bar with us sometimes, but like, do you feel like, I know we were a bit on work trip / holiday.
Yes.
But that, is that any different to London? When we were younger, we used to go pub every night.
Yeah.
I mean, I
met up with some...
I taste quite a lot of stoppers doing that now.
I can genuinely remember the first time that you and I went to the pub together, like after work. Because we went to the Blue Posts, which was down on our street that we were on. And it was the first, we were like, it was late and we were like, oh, do you want to go to the pub? And then we went in the pub and just got slaughtered. And I was like...
The first of many trips. the first of many, one pint?
But what's
fancy one pint?
But what's really strange... Yeah. But what's really strange is that, you know that pub?
Yeah.
That was the pub that I used to go to and hang out all the time when I first moved to London.
Yeah, you've said that to me before, yeah.
And then I ended up, that was... But then also, we didn't really go there much after...
No.
We went there for a bit, and then we stopped going there. We started going to Crown 2,
yeah. It became our pub.
That is a better pub, and it doesn't have that horrible Sam Smith beer, which literally destroys my insides.
Alpine Lager. Ugh. Or Taddy's. Yeah. Or Gallagher Lager.
The reason we used to go is because it used to be cheap. It used to be cheaper than everywhere else. But now, that doesn't make any sense. It's not cheaper, I don't think.
Because we just moved to London, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, people go to the pub all the time, man. I think that's a very British thing. Because even back where I grew up, our local pub down the bottom of the road, it'll be full every night.
Yeah.
Through a mixture of locals. Some people just go in the same night every week and their mates go in the same night. My dad used to go to the pub every Friday, Saturday.
It's a big...
Like you go at 7, you go after his tea, you go and then be home at close.
Yeah. I guess like as well, we still obviously have that as well, but I guess in everywhere now, there's like quite a big brewery culture as well because breweries have bought quite a lot of these cool like warehouse spaces. And
it's cheaper to get from source.
Yeah. And also a lot of that beer is really, really nice.
Yeah.
What was really interesting was, because I've kind of not gone off IPAs a little bit, but gone back more to drinking like lager and stuff like that because I've just
that's what breweries are making now though.
But this is what we're saying, isn't it? Because we went out a couple of weeks ago to meet a friend and having dinner with them. We had a couple of pints before, and I had a lager inside, and the guy was like, "Oh, try this lager! Like, that's what brewers are making now. They've gone back to making lagers." Because
Fred Brody said that it's like what they always drink.
Yeah,
you can't have IPAs constantly because they are heavy. It's not meant to be like. That's why also the other trend is session everything.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you can't have like 7% IPAs.
No.
Well, as I know from the Torpedo Can incident.
Oh, yeah, but I can't even.
I like one. They're really tasty.
I've kind of got off on that taste a little bit now. I think this is a little bit too heavy for me. I don't know. But it was really funny though because that guy was like, oh yeah, like we've gone back to lager. Like, and if you can make a really good lager, that's a really good making of, it shows your brewery's good. That lager I had from that place was fucking disgusting. There's like a taste to a bad lager that is like hair. It tastes hairy and it hangs around in your mouth and you're like, just fuck off.
Hair of the dog.
That's why I've been buying all those just Munchen lagers. Like, they're really nice, man.
The lager I really like is like Brooklyn lager, because you've put that out, it's not like clear like a lager. It's kind of like browny.
It's heavy, yeah.
But it's not like as heavy as like a stout or anything like that.
No.
What they do is they burn the hops slightly.
Yeah.
But it's still like light like a lager, but it's just got a bit more tang to it.
I do like Brooklyn lager, but I associate that. That was like, I think, one of the first non-standard lagers right. that I ever drank.
It's got a bit more, it's still myself. Classed as a lager because it's like quite clear.
I went on a trip once for Aliens Colonial Marines, and it was with a PR that had never looked after that many people before. So he said, I think he was a bit nervous about taking lots of people around New York. We went out in New York the first night and it was like a strange incident with one of the journalists who was just acting like a bit of a dickhead.
Oh, right.
Okay. And he basically didn't, it was like he. Oh, I thought that was a person then.
Ramen. It's like haunting us.
He didn't want to go to this pizza place. He wanted to go to Bubba Gump's. He was like kicking off that we weren't going to Bubba Gump's. And then we took him. We went for this pizza place, which was like incredible.
I mean, you're in New York.
Yeah. And
going to a cool pizza place is a good thing to do while in New York.
It was stunning as well. But he was like, because he was a chef, he was like trying to make out that, oh, actually, you would think the Bubba Grumps is disgusting, but it's actually really good. He was like, he worked for a Michelin star chef, blah, 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 blah. And we went to this pizza place, and people think, basically, he complained that there was a nail in the pizza, like a fingernail.
Oh, my God.
And people think he did it on purpose because the pizza people all wore gloves. Everyone were like, as soon as you step in, whoever works it wears gloves. So the pizza place wouldn't back down and going, it's not ours because it can't be. And they were saying, what, you're saying I did it? And he was like quite a sort of cockney guy. And they were like, yeah, we are saying you did it. And it was kind of odd. Anyway, because of that.
Horrifying.
I think this guy, this PR, didn't really want to take us out much.
Well, you wouldn't, would you? After that, I'd be like, sort yourself out.
But to bring it all back, anyway, he was like, oh, drink in the hotel as much as you want, put everything on your room. So we were drinking bottles of Brooklyn Lager. It's the first time I'd ever had it in America as well. I was out with a buddy of mine as well. So we were like just playing pool and drinking Brooklyn Lager in this beautiful
having your pastrami
hotel.
On rye.
Yeah. And but they were smaller. They weren't 330 milliliters. They were smaller ones. Oh, they were like these little stubby ones, right? But they were all $12 a bottle.
Fucking hell.
And like, I mean, we've drank together countless times and we just made a joke about how we can't have one drink. At one point, I think Matt and I, who play pool, I think we drank 20 bottles because they were small.
You get through that. I know that like, sounds like a lot, but like if they're small and...
They were stubby bottles, I think, maybe like, it must be like 250 milliliters or something like that.
Probably like five
right?
pints.
So yeah, exactly. We must have easily had 20 bottles of this thing and they were all like, I think it was $12 a bottle.
Jesus Christ.
Like how much money did we spend in that place, man? Anyway, that's why Alien Colonial Marines is my favorite game on the Wii U.
My game of the generation.
That film I was thinking about was Drinking Buddies. It's got Jake Johnson, Olivia Wilde, Anna Kendrick, Ron Livingston, and Ty West. And Jason Statham as well. It's about people who... Oh, it's a Joe Swanberg film. Nice. It's about people who work in a brewery. And it is good. And I really liked it. But... That basically that is it's all about how the fact that she's always at the brewery and she's always getting pissed there.
I think he's better off.
I think you're better like off, mate.
But not even just the fact that she's going to the pub every night, which probably ain't great. That sounds like a bit judgmental, but yeah. I think it's more she's lying to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to be with someone who's lying to you.
Yeah.
So while it sucks now, I think you're going to be better off out after it. And you can go, you find a better partner, you find a better pub.
Is it poor taste to ask, can you just send us what the name of the pub is, though, please?
Yeah, or a picture of it.
Cheers, mate.
Is it cheap?
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, though. Okay, it's a good one. Slugs, how do you deal with interview failure? For context, I've been working in my job for a little over 3 years now. In the past year, I've applied for about 5 positions, both internally and externally, for a job that could be considered a promotion. I've been unsuccessful in all 5 interviews, and I'm not too sure where to go from here. The feedback that I've gotten when requested is that I interview well, but there was just another candidate more suitable for the role. I'm trying to keep my shield up, but unfortunately my stamina bar is gauging on empty. Do you have any advice on how to take that extra step and secure myself a new, better paying gig? Keep up the great work.
That's tough, because I was literally about to say, like, did you get any feedback? But
yeah.
To be honest, that doesn't sound like great feedback. That sounds like generic feedback.
Sounds like feedback when they can't be asked.
Yeah, or they don't feel comfortable on giving you the actual feedback. I don't know whether the last one, if it was recently, you could push for something more detailed, because, I mean, you're learning nothing from that. You literally can do nothing about someone else, because, like, depending on the interview, there could always potentially be someone that's better out there in the world than you. That's not great. Maybe
kick off.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
is a hard.
Well, you've got some good advice on pushing for positions internally, at least I think. But I think you're really good at kick off. No, but I think that's the problem, isn't it? People perceive it as kicking off.
Yeah.
But when it's actually the other way to perceive it is knowing your worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And feeling confident enough to assert that in the workplace.
Yeah, that was a thing that someone told me really, really early on when I worked in games, was just like, is like a lovely person who has become my mentor. But she said like, the mistake that people make is thinking that it's adversarial. Like if you're going in to ask for something, the mistake that people make is, and you end up getting your back up a little bit, or you end up going in angry or anything like that. Whereas actually, like, the person that you're talking to...
They're usually a middle person anyway.
Yeah, very rare. And if you go in and just go, hey, look, I want this amount of money and I think that I deserve this because this... Like, most of the time, the person will be like, if you genuinely are good and you deserve it, most of the time, the person will go, yeah, 100%, let's do what we can to get that for you. And, like, it might not always be possible, but... Like if you just, it's not like a you versus them thing, like ever.
Because I do think that, especially if it's a job that you really love and you feel fortunate to have it. Like I had that with a long time at IGN. I was like so grateful to have that job. I'd be like, yeah, it's fine. Like when I first got the job, I took a paltry starting salary for my qualifications and where I was, but it's because I wanted that foot in the door.
Of course.
And I was actually fine making peace with that, because I was like, it gets me into a world I would have always wanted to be in. It's like my one chance, so I'm happy with those terms. Yeah. Then over the years, it was feeling comfortable. I didn't have it for a long time to go, oh shit. And then I realized one point, I was like, oh, I am more valuable to you than I gave myself credit for.
Yeah.
And it is speaking to knowing your worth and standing up for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
And also, if you're asking, I imagine what would change, make your life much better in terms of money.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee you, if you work for a decently sized company, what you're asking will be peanuts for them.
100%.
And if it's a chase of them knowing that they're going to lose you, whether you're going to leave or you're just going to become less enthusiastic about your job, they might just go, it's what is it, $4,000?
Mm.
For a company, that's, we can find that anywhere.
100%, yeah. I've done this a couple of times, but recently a friend of mine who I'm seeing this weekend, she was like, she wanted, we talked about salaries and I found out what she was on and I was like, that is not enough money. You shouldn't be on that at your age with the job that you do, because I've worked out of her office a couple of times and I know what her job is. But also she works on like accounts and she works on jobs where they're bringing in like millions of pounds for this thing. And I was like, just ask them for 10 grand extra. She's like, no, I could never do it.
What's worst case scenario?
And I was like, do you know how little money that is for her? And recently she got headhunted by another place, went for the interview. They offered her a job, which she went and told her current place and they offered her $8,000 to stay. And I was like, and she was like, so I don't know what to do. I was like, doesn't that annoy you a little bit though, that they just had $8,000 that they are willing?
They do it when it's reactive, not proactive.
And I think like that's the things, like you can work for the best company in the world and they still, for some reason, are like, no, we need to keep this person on less money. This money's just sitting in the company.
And then you just get into like good old fashioned negotiation bargaining or haggling.
Yeah. I've done it at companies where I've gone, it hasn't gone well. And I've gone, this is how much I want to be on. And they said, no. And I've said, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Me not having this amount of money, or me not being on this amount of money now, is basically saying that I need to look somewhere else. So I just want you to know that. And 2 weeks later, it's like, yeah, we've got that money for you now, actually.
You're like, thank you. And I will remember this.
Yeah, exactly.
But then good and the bad one.
I remember once when I was at Future, I got offered a job at Sky. But like, it would have been a cool job because I would work on like films and stuff, but I don't think the job would have been as good to be. It would have been a cool place to work, not a good job. But I went to my boss and I said, look, this place is offering me $5,000 more to go. I don't want to go, but I'm going to, because I need like $5,000 more.
Big difference.
I think I was on $25,000. So it would have bumped me up to $30,000 as like a 26-year-old or something. So I was like, I'm a millionaire. That's going to make me a millionaire. So I said to my boss, I don't want to go. I love my job, but $5,000 is like life changing for me. But I'm a millionaire. It is now.
Yeah.
He was like, okay, give me. And then like 20 minutes later, like the publisher came down and was like, we'll give it to you, you can, if you stay. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Like a year later, I got given a pay rise and then it got canceled. So they called me in and said, look, lots of people have been redundant, but we're actually going to give you a pay rise because you feel like you deserved it, blah, 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 blah. Then a week later, it got cancelled. And I was like,
This is after the $5,000.
This is a year later. This is a year later. And I was like, I don't know if you're allowed to do that. But also, you don't sign anything. I didn't sign a new contract or anything for it. It was like, I was just going to get, and they were like, so I was obviously gutted. And I was like, oh, okay. But then also people would be made redundant.
That's weird,
so
doing
fine.
That while people would be made redundant.
I thought it was really strange. I don't know what the play was, but it's a weird company, man. So I basically said, because they said they were canceling it, and I was like, gutted, because it was another big bit of money. I told them that I had been offered another job, and it was like $5,000 more. And I was like, oh, look, I don't want to take it, but I'm going to because of the money. And then they gave me that amount again, but whereas before it took 20 minutes, this one took like 3 weeks. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to say, just take this job. And it doesn't exist. And I was like,
that's proper bluffing though.
For 3 weeks though, it was horrible, Daniel. I was like, every single day I wished I didn't do it, because I was like, What if they just come back and go, what if the 3 weeks that they're actually interviewing for someone
every,
right now?
Every day you're putting like one thing over your desk into a small cardboard box. Yeah. Just packing my desk up.
Better just do it now, isn't it?
But it's best to do it a little bit a day, I think.
Every single day I was like, do I yield? Do I go in and go, oh, actually, I just want to stay here?
Do you yield?
Yeah. And I was like, no. I was like, do I just go in and tell them no? It was a big play for a 27-year-old me who didn't have any other options other than that job. But when they came back and they were like, oh, actually, we've moved some things around and we can actually make it work. I was like, okay, that's good. Thank you. Because I don't have to go to an imaginary job.
So what we're saying to this person.
Yeah.
Is bluff. No.
I think
Know your worth. Can you speak to your manager directly and just explain the situation? I know that's easier said than done because I don't know the relationship you have with your manager. I could do that quite easily at IGM, but I know it's not the same for everyone. But maybe can you do that internally and just go, hey, this is the situation.
Yeah.
I think I'm worth this. You know. And then, I mean, this doesn't help with your predicament, but I guess you just got to keep looking because this is going to happen until you do get the one.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because then you'll stop looking and you'll be happy. So I think you've got to persevere. And I know that's not advice. You know, the advice to persevere is just to persevere.
Yeah. This is such a teachery, parent thing of saying as well. But I generally feel like I can remember every single interview that I ever went on and I learned something from every single interview that I ever went on. Mm. So it's like, and the more that you do, the less nervous you'll be going in. So don't look at any of those interviews as a waste because it absolutely 100% is not. I know you want the job and I know it will be perfect or whatever. But also, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be.
Maybe look a little bit further afield maybe, adjacent professions and you can come in as, just try your hand at stuff that you don't even maybe fancy getting. So if you don't get it, it's not a big kick in the teeth.
No.
But you go, oh, if I did get that, bloody hell, that'd be cool.
All the jobs, I love going into it. I've gone to a few interviews where I didn't need the job because I was really happy in the job.
Quite free.
They've always been my favorite interviews. Always my favorite interviews. I had an interview with a guy who was like head of video at the global BuzzFeed. So he's like, he was like one of the very first, if you could call him like YouTubers ever. And they'd managed to hire him when he was like global video. And the interview was with another YouTuber girl who was in a hotel lobby. And it was fucking weird. But I was like, it's the hotel, you know, where Tower Bridge is. Mm. Directly opposite Tower Bridge is this beautiful, massive hotel. And it was in the lobby of that. I was like, wow. I felt so big time. It was unbelievable.
I see you guys, I see what you're doing over there. You're doing a lot of top down. If I came on board, I'd do a lot of bottom up.
Yeah.
Like tasty, but from the other direction.
Yeah. Underneath. Well, you just see the bowl. Not the bowl. Not get him out of here. The chop in. You see the chop in.
No, listen to me. Translucent table.
But I was so relaxed. Also, I worked at IGN at the time, but I'd gone through, this was like the fourth or fifth interview for this. It'd been going on for so long. I had to do a task, which I got paid for. The video is on Facebook now. It's like, five phrases that mean something else in Welsh than they do in English. That's on there. I got paid. I got paid for that video, which was really cool. But I got paid like 700 quid for that video as well. It's bonkers. Anyway, but this interview, I was like, this must have been February after I started at IGN. So I obviously probably fallen in love with the place, probably fallen in love with you. It was like, great. I ordered a beer during this interview because the guy was like,
"That is such a." They must have gone, this guy is. This guy is confident.
He doesn't need it.
He's buying his own beer.
But he was like,
"You got any Little Brooklyn lagers?"
He was drinking a coffee. The girl ordered a Diet Coke.
It was 9 a.m.
I didn't know it was a night. No, but this is the thing. It was a Saturday afternoon.
Imagine turning up in the morning. Went, yeah, well, you got a tap.
I did. I got a pint of Asahi. it was a Saturday afternoon. I was going out after. I was going to go out after. So I had beer, just talked to him. And it was like this mad thing where I actually didn't think that he knew who I was or anything like that. But it turned out that he knew every single thing about me because he was asking questions that I was like, well, that question isn't relevant to me. Because she was a proper YouTuber.
Mm.
She's called like
Zoella.
She's called like, she's fucking Rhiannon Dinosaur or something like that. She's called, right? She's called like Redino or Unicorn Girl or something like that, right? She was awesome. I've seen her. She's massive now. She was obviously less so then because that was like 5-6 years ago now. But yeah, it was great, man. And then like I got the job and then I was like, oh no.
So our advice is like, next interview, order a beer.
Order a beer. Go as
take bringing your own beers in a carrier bag.
Can you imagine? Do you want one? I brought my own cans. Cans are Red Stripe.
They're all lagers, but they're all different.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, amazing. All right, let's have a Mingin' or Fair Play then. Hello, boys. A couple of episodes ago, you came down. Oh, this is, yeah, okay. So you went in for this one, right? So, hello, boys. A couple of episodes ago, you came down hard on Mingin' or Fair Play for illegally streaming stuff. Was this you?
No, not that.
No, I think it was Powers. Okay, good. I'd like to ask you the same question, but with a caveat. So basically, someone said illegally downloading stuff or torrenting stuff, Mingin' or Fair Play. We came down on Mingin'.
I want a caveat for it.
Yeah, we came down on Mingin'. If one, you can afford to buy it and it's possible to buy it. So if it's possible to buy it and you can afford to buy it, we were like, it's Mingin. But if you are, you know, in dire straits or you just generally don't have the money, because I, like, you know, I was a kid, I didn't have any money to buy stuff.
I'll put one more caveat.
Okay.
If it's available in your territory.
Yeah.
Because some sort is just not available.
Yeah.
And that's on them, I think. Like,
So this person says, so we came down on Mingin for that. So it was a couple of caveats in it, right? This person says, okay, I subscribe to multiple streaming sites such as Netflix and utilize it as large an extent as possible. However, living where I live, all the stuff I want to watch is not available to me, nor likely ever will be. So I also use illegally streaming sites on the site to watch the stuff I otherwise can't pay for. Still Mingin', or is this now Fair Play?
That's kind of what I just said.
Yeah, kind of.
Because, for instance, I feel like if Warner Brothers don't put out HBO Max here and then don't release certain things... Mm. Then I don't know, you're basically going, oh, we don't care about you in your country. And yeah. You're not putting it out in a way that I could easily watch it.
I actually can't get my head around that in 2021.
Yeah, the HBO, there must be some weird legal thing. But so for instance, what's a good example of this? Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone.
Oh God, yeah.
Huge show, Jordan Peele coming off winning Oscars for Get Out,
yeah.
Makes a new version of Twilight Zone. I'm really excited about it. To my knowledge, that has never been shown on British TV.
I think it has now, but in the last couple of months, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
So when it originally came out, you couldn't get it because it was a CBS Access exclusive, which we don't have an equivalent for over here. You couldn't even buy it through UK iTunes.
No.
So I downloaded it because I wanted to watch it.
Mm.
And I didn't feel Mingin' about that because I bought an Apple TV a couple of years ago and I've really enjoyed doing impulse rentals.
Well, yeah.
It really reminds me of going to the video shop as a kid.
Yeah.
And yeah, when I was a student, I did download loads of stuff. Whereas if I can, for £2, rent something and stream it immediately in 4K, I'm going to do that because it looks way nicer.
Yeah.
And I don't have to fuck about with my laptop. And I know that's not the same for everyone, but that's a classic case, what you're saying. If it's £4 to rent it and it's like stunning quality, I'm going to do that because you made it easy.
Yeah.
But the fact that Twilight Zone just wasn't available.
Yeah.
I don't want it spoiled for me.
My mate Andy, he is really lovely. So he's got one of those, he's got Plex thing, which I do use for some things that connects to my Apple TV. But he just prefers that software, but he still pays for everything. But then he torrents the like 4K things for him. So he just got it all in one place. Mm. And I was like, there should be a thing like that, which can obviously then go, okay, what are you signed up to? Right, we're going to populate it within, which I guess Apple TV does to an extent.
But Netflix don't allow access to their API. So you can get a lot of stuff going into the thing.
Yeah.
So basically, all these companies don't want to work together.
Yeah.
Because there's no vested interest in them.
No. I mean, it's similar
so
to
that's why the Plex thing is good. Also, Plex is amazing for organizing films.
Oh my God.
So, if you just want to sift through release year, you can create really weird playlists of, I just want to watch a bunch of TV episodes, Halloween TV episodes made in 1995.
Yeah. We've talked about this loads as well. It's like,
does my head in that Netflix doesn't have like Spotify functionality?
Oh my God. Because it makes complete sense. Like, think about like now, we're in the middle of October. For your Halloween film club, which you should check out if you're on early access, which you are. Wait, it's only $3 actually, if you could just share a playlist and just go, this is the stuff I'm going to be watching.
You could share things alongside them. For instance, if this existed across all streaming platforms, we talked about this loads on this podcast and other ones. If you could do Gav's top 10 Simpsons episodes.
Exactly.
And do just a little list, like a playlist, like you would with music, like a gym playlist.
Do you know the thing that fucking does my head in about Disney Plus right now? They've done really well, right? They've done a really cool thing.
They do some of their own
playlists. Oh, they do it better than Netflix. Yeah. But so they've done they've got a big Halloween spooky hub, right? That is, not only have they just done Simpsons stuff, but they've also done stuff that is available across that, Fox thing called?
Stars.
Stars, right? So they go, every Stars Halloween episode is on there, right?
That's quite cool.
Do you know what is absolutely mental they've not done though? Like, I've had it with the Simpsons. So the other day, I was going to... So, like, they've done Simpsons Halloween, and they've done them in order, right?
That's good.
If you watch the first one, does it go to the next Halloween one?
Shut up.
No, it goes to the next episode of The Simpsons.
That is bonkers.
What?
So this is where I'm a bit like your friend Andy. On my Plex, I have a playlist of all the Treehouse of Horrors.
Absolutely,
because
that's
what I want.
That's what I want to watch. But the other day, I was like... So, what? I do even think... The early one, which I think is like season 2 or 3, I think is the first Treehouse of Horror. That is a really good episode, but the other episodes in that series, I've got no interest in watching. Why have I got to come back out?
It's not a good experience because they're only 20 minutes.
I can't believe that. You've done half the work.
Just a little aside, have you seen that they've made Disney Plus? Because I mean, Disney own everything and they can do whatever they want. Have you seen they've made this Star Wars animated horror thing?
No.
It's like 20, 30 minutes long.
Oh, the Lego one?
Yeah.
No, is it good?
I don't know, but do you see the poster where it's basically the Porgs or the twins from The Shining?
That's so strange.
Rian Johnson's involved,
yeah.
I think. They're just having a laugh. But the other thing I'm looking forward to, you've seen they've done a new Muppet special coming.
No. Halloween.
Muppets spend the night in the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yes.
And that's where you go, it's kind of cool that you own all these things because you can just make this nice. So they're making a good old traditional Halloween special where the Muppets are in the Halloween Haunted Mansion in Disneyland.
Banging. Give it to me. Yep. Love it. That's awesome. That's really, really good.
But you can get that on Disney Plus, which is in most territories, so don't torrent it.
Well, because Disney Plus is the same, right? Is that the one of the things that is the same everywhere?
The core Disney stuff is.
Okay.
I think the Star thing isn't the same as in America, because in America, Disney on Hulu.
Right.
It's a fucking mess,
man. Yeah, yeah. And we don't get Hulu, do we?
No.
Why?
A lot of the Hulu stuff that will come onto Disney Plus for us.
Right.
Like, for instance, in America, I believe that Why the Last Man is on FX or Hulu.
It is, yeah.
And that's on our Star. It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Isn't that really
odd? It's just a mess, isn't it?
I guess
it's because it's just all these local territory companies and rights and stuff. This is stuff that existed from... I do think it's all this stuff that's fighting the wave of globalization.
Yeah.
Rightly or wrongly, good or bad. I don't know if it's even an ethical thing. In 100 years' time, it will be just one big supercorp.
Yeah.
Whether that's good or not, probably not good, but, you know, we'll make streaming easier.
Yeah, as long as I can... Does it look nice on my Plex? That's all
I
care
about.
Will
it play the next Treehouse? Yeah, I'll sign up for it.
It will, yeah. Okay, good.
Your neural implant will allow you to...
Well, this is a thing that you've said before, which is like, just let me shuffle. Let me shuffle Simpsons episodes.
Yeah.
Which is really
Shuffle
good.
Peep Show.
Unbelievable. But there we go. We came down. I think we've talked around that.
I think
it hasn't changed our mind.
Being in a third place is harder with that.
It is harder, yeah. Because there's so many caveats.
Whereas if it's flicking your bogeys on the floor.
We can answer
there's
that.
There's less caveats there.
We can answer that. All right. Thank you very much for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. bit.ly/shield.capital S capital U. We'll see you next week.